Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Clutch Conversations. It's your boy, Mike. We back at you one more again, live on a Thursday night, man. Good to be in the building tonight. We got ladies' night tonight. We got Brittany, we got Jenny, we got Tommy. It's going to be a dope show. We're going to get to the show in just a few minutes. But first and foremost, shout out to my lovely wife, Takara. Really appreciate everything you do. Appreciate you holding us down. You know how it is. Y'all make sure y'all show some love in the chat, man. Drop some comments and don't stop there. Show the channel some love. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and Hulk smash that notification bell so you can get notifications each and every time we drop a video here on the channel. Shout out to the audio only gang. Audio only versions of Clutch Conversations are available on all major podcasting platforms. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. When you're out there checking us out on your favorite podcasting platform, please be sure to follow, rate, and review. It really helps us out. We appreciate the love. Definitely appreciate the support. Speaking of support, if you're supporting this hobby in any shape, form, or fashion, definitely make sure you're supporting US Art and US Art Florida. The link for both organizations are in the description of this video. Definitely make sure you go out there, show them some love, drop a donation. Make sure you tell everybody to spread the word about both these organizations that's helping protect our rights as reptile keepers. Speaking of spread the word, make sure you spread the word about our dope sponsors. We're going to get this first sponsor video and then we'll be right back.
Big dreams start in small towns. Small Town Exotics is a family-run business that specializes in high-quality ball python morphs, western hognoses, and select leopard geckos. They are proud members of US Art, US Art Florida, and the Orient Society. Stay connected with Small Town Exotics on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Witness their journey as they grow their business and showcase their animals to the world. Thank you, Small Town Exotics, for sponsoring the show.
Art comes in many forms. At Armies Angels, it comes to life.
Shout out to the sponsors, man. Appreciate your support. Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Justin. Man, we got a lot of folks in the comments tonight, man. We got some folks that was here bright and early. I know we're a little bit late, but that was all on me. Man, I call myself going above and beyond the Call of Duty. I sent the StreamYard link in the IG chat, Facebook chat, and I sent it in an email. I don't even usually send it in the email, but messed around and sent the wrong link in the email, so I had everybody in the wrong spot. So that's on me. But we here now. What's good, Nikki? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Irresistible Ball Pythons. And y'all make sure y'all check out her show. I'm actually going to be on there May 2nd. It's at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. So we're looking forward to being on the show with her and Angel over there. 352 in the building. Big Brian, what's good, homie? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Dundada in the building. What's good, man? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Eric's More Factor in the building. What's good, brother? Appreciate you coming out. We got the guest in the chat. What's good? Inky Clouds in the building. Blakers Pythons, what's good? Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Benny, what's good? Bone Daddy Serpents in the building. What's up, bro? Fred, what's good? MTZ Pythons, appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. Jen, what's Jessica, what's up? Denmark's Dan, appreciate you coming out. Appreciate the support. The homie Big Wiz in the building again. Appreciate you coming out, bro. Appreciate the support. Hey, shout out to the Wiz Tang crew, man. Nothing but love over there in that camp. Wiz was on the show last week. He was on the show a few weeks before that, man. It always goes down when the homie come on the show. We're going to stop it right there. We're going to kick the intro video, and then we'll be right back.
Baby, won't you listen to me? I got that flavor. I know you're dying to feed. I ain't no dancer. Just got some hip in my feet. Now throw your hands up. You bring the lighter, I got the fuse. You make a fire, I'll add the fuel. Follow my lead, yeah. Just watch the shoes. Gotta turn the heat up, get this cool.
Episode 113, Ladies Night. What's up? Hey, I did that just for you, Tommy, because I know last time you got a kick, like you was hella tickled.
Yeah, the horn gets me every time.
Y'all doing all right? I don't even do the horn every time, but I was like, I'm gonna make sure I do it tonight because I know it gets a kick out of that.
I need the remix, man.
Yeah, so sorry about that link issue. That's all on me. I take
You didn't even let us throw you under the bus either.
No, I know. You beat us to it.
I know.
That's the advantage you have when you get to come out first, man. You get to get it all off the table. Well, thank y'all for coming out tonight, man. Definitely been looking forward to this all week, man. The week been hectic, so this is always like a good chill out session, man. Just have a good time.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. So how's things been going with y'all?
You already know how it's going with me. I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer. I'll let somebody who has some positive stuff going on do it.
Let me start with you, Brittany.
Crazy as always. You know, I'm always like, oh, if I just get through this next month, things will calm down. I'm about to just give up on that. I think my life is just always going to be a hectic mess between the books and the reptiles and some clutches are starting to be laid. So that's exciting, but patience is not my virtue. And it's like, okay, great. Now I've got the eggs, but could they hatch? Please.
Yeah, it never slows down. Like you always tell yourself, oh, after I get through this, man, it's going to be all good. But then something else inevitably comes up. Like it's just always like, go, 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 go. Like my son graduates high school in about a month and a half now. It's like, man, like I remember he was like 6 months old, like trying to crawl up the stairs. Like just time just flies, man. So definitely, man, anybody out there, man, you got small kids, take advantage because they grow up super fast.
For sure.
What about you, Jen? I know you got a lot going on. A lot's happened since the show.
Well, the collection has definitely grown since I was last on your show. Added a few species so far. I'm off to a slow start, but most of my stuff lays in the second half of the year anyways. But yeah, just a lot going on. Work, this, the rats, school, you know, it doesn't end for me. So
have you started school yet?
So right now I'm taking a couple classes to hopefully clep test out of some of the requirements. And then I start in the summer. So I'm going to do a full load in the summer. So how I'm going to manage to do all this, I don't know. Lots of Adderall and coffee, I guess. I don't know.
Sounds like a good plan.
That was my MO in undergrad. I didn't even know
Well, just so you know, there's a shortage right now.
Yes. So one of my kids actually takes it, and that's been our issue. It's like either we're a shortage of Adderall or we're a shortage of Vyvanse. We're like,
yeah.
It's like a national shortage. So, yeah, I don't know how I'll do it, but we'll see.
Yeah, raw dog it.
What you taking up? Like, what's your major?
Business management.
Business management. Okay. How long is the program going to take?
So to finish out my bachelor's, I'm goaling myself at 18 months. I take more than a full time course load to get it done. And then I'm going to transfer for my MBA.
Nice.
A focus on like compliance, money laundering, that type of thing.
Nice.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't know how I'm going to do it with eggs on the ground, adding more species, you know.
You're going to do shows too?
Still doing shows. Yep. I will still do shows. So you might see me at a show with my laptop and my textbook and trying to hustle a snake, you know.
Hey, whatever you got to do, whatever you got to do.
So we'll see how it goes.
So speaking of snakes, man, let's get into some snake talk. Tommy, how's your season going?
I actually had my first clutch, I think, 2 days ago for this season. But it wasn't any of the girls I was expecting to go. She was eating and breeding up until April 1st, and she laid 2 days ago.
She was eating and breeding up until April 1st, and she laid 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Surprise! April Fool's!
Exactly. Right. I was like, what? Because I, like, checked my records. I'm like, I know she's been eating. I'm like, okay. And, like, she locked on April 1st, and she laid 4 eggs. And I was like, I went on, for the eclipse, I went to the mountains to go to, like, a dark space where there was no light, no ambient light, all that. And, I came home and I was like checking everybody out, opening drawers, and I opened her drawer and I was like, what? So yeah, surprise. I had no idea she was grabbing.
How many times has she locked before?
I want to say, I think it was a total of three.
Total of three? Wow.
I think total of three, yeah.
First time girl? Or
yeah, first time. Like I had no clue. Like everybody else, I'm like, yep, tick, there's that, you know, like you're looking for all your pieces. And I just never, because she just kept eating. So I'm like, she's eating, she's shedding, she's doing all this stuff. I'm like, she must have not taken yet, but I wasn't rushing her, and apparently she was gravid. So
she back on food now?
Oh, she laid the eggs whenever, like while I was out of town. I was only gone for 2 days, so I took the eggs out at like 10 a.m. and she ate two small rats at like 7 p.m.
Dang, that's a soldier.
Yeah. She's like, I just keep eating. I just keep eating. I was like, all right. I mean, that's fine. But then she only laid 4 eggs. I'm like, damn, you think you'd make more out of it than that. But they're giant eggs. They're like that big. I'm like, there's got like 10 snakes in each egg. I don't know.
That's wild. I never heard of that, like, ever.
I mean, I've heard of it. I'd heard of them, like, you know, continuing to eat and all that, but like I'd never experienced it. So I was just like everything else, you know, you hear things, people say things, and you're like, yeah, that sounds like it could happen, but I never expected it. People are like, surprise eggs. I'm like, yeah, they're such a surprise. But now I'm that person.
What was the pair?
It was a Mario piebald to a leopard het desert ghost het piebald het clown.
Okay, nice. What about you, Brittany? How's your season going?
It's starting a little slow. Most of my stuff goes a little later, but it's kind of been a hodgepodge, which is fun. So my Baroni racers laid, the blue Baronis, which is really cool. I love them. And you talked about a surprise clutch. They were my surprise clutch last year. We were like, we timed it and everything. We're like, okay, she's just not going to lay this year. No big deal.
Yeah.
And we went on vacation and we came back and we were just cleaning and they were in the back and they were dehydrated.
Oh, no.
And I was like, we should throw them out. And Johnny's like, no, we're going to rehydrate them. I'm like, I don't think it works like that. But sure enough, it works like that.
Yeah.
And they hatched.
That's great.
But this year we were planning and we watched her. And so we got those. I got my first Borneo clutch, which is really exciting. And I got another blood python clutch and then a couple of ball python clutches and one hawk nose clutch. So it's kind of just very sporadic and a little of each right now.
Yeah. That's fun.
How challenging is that to like manage breeding all those different species?
Johnny is like the spreadsheet king. So it's extremely organized. We did, our collection grew like almost doubled probably since the last time I was on the show. And my brother actually came on as a partner, like a business partner. So now that we were kind of at that stage, you know, where it's like you can do it by yourself, but you're straining, so you can't take on any more projects and you can't expand. But you also have to expand if you want to have someone help and, you know, kind of cover or, you know, get like be worth it for both parties. So we were like, all right, let's jump in and do this. So that has been a huge help, especially with me doing a lot of writing and stuff. I love the Bloods, though. Biggest surprise on earth was I was not looking forward to taking eggs from them because they are very food motivated. And I was like, this is not going to be good. They're going to just hit us. So we were like, we went in there ready to like, we got this. Like, so anticlimactic. They were so easy to take the eggs from. Like, I don't know if you've ever taken eggs from a blood, but it is lame. Like, my adrenaline was pumping because I was like ready. And they just looked at me. There was no huffy. There was no cobra. They just were like, really? And we unwrapped them, reached in, grabbed the eggs. And then they were like, now you're going to feed us? Like, yes. It was the most chill thing. I was like, this is awesome. I love this.
Is that typical for Bloods to be chill when you pull them, or do most of the time they'd be pretty defensive?
From what I understood, nobody warned me. I'm kind of thinking my Blood Python bros did not warn me on purpose, and they let me psych myself up that this was going to be something. Because then when I told them, they're like, yeah, I know, ball pythons are worse, right? And I was like, you could have told a girl, you know? but it was funny. It was great. My clutch I pulled last year, and then the two this year, they've all been exactly the same. Just unwrap. It's like, it's so low drama. So low drama.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't expect that.
Yeah.
Have you been tagged by blood before?
I haven't, but Johnny has.
How was it?
It was a little one. And we were told, it was actually a Borneo, not a blood. And it's an F2 from the wild because it's the Mocha Sunset Project. So they're still definitely got a little wild hair thing going on. And the breeder specifically said, you know, these are going to not be as chill as your, you know, typical Borneo. And they came and they are spitfires. And so I warned Johnny and I'm like, he said, handle with care. And then I went into the snake house and there was blood all over the floor. And I'm like, what happened? And Johnny's like, I got bit. And I'm like, by like the big boa, by the big blood? No, it's the little tiny short tail. And it apparently just kept nailing him over and over and drew so much blood. I laughed. I'm a terrible wife.
It's harmless.
Yeah. He didn't die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the biggest thing is like psyching yourself up. Like before I ever got bit by a snake, like in my mind, it was going to be like the worst thing. Even though people told me it doesn't really hurt, especially like ball pythons, it don't really hurt. But in my mind, I just had like this anticipation, like it's going to hurt. And so I didn't want to get bit. When I finally got bit, I was like, okay. It ain't really nothing to it. I still don't like getting bit. Just the thought of getting bit is kind of weird, but it don't hurt at all.
Yeah.
It almost jumpy more than anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't like the lunge thing. That gets me. I don't mind being bit. It's not bad, but that jump. It's like I'm just not I don't like anything to jump or twitch or move. But I have narcolepsy, so I go down like a fainting goat, you know. It's not the greatest thing.
Yeah,
get
the jump scares.
Yeah.
Boas hit different, though. They definitely hit different. Like, it didn't hurt, but it was definitely a different feeling than getting bit by a ball python.
Yeah, we took babies from our boa last year, and honestly, that was the worst. She thought she was a Gaboon viper. The only time I've ever heard a snake open its throat and make that sound was when I was photographing a Gaboon viper. I mean, she was like, you're not taking them. I was like, hey, you're right. You can keep it. No, just kidding. You actually still took them. But,
yeah. How's your season going, Jen?
So I'm getting my first clutch around the 24th of this month, give or take. Just triple hets at this point. Working just a lot at my heads. Yeah, just triple hets. You know.
Triple head what?
Those will be hypoclompide triple hets.
Oh, nice.
I'm working a lot of like I love the DG clown stuff. I know it's kind of overdone at this point, but I like Blackhead. I like chocolate. Like, I like the darker stuff. So I'm working on working that into my DG Clown stuff. And that's kind of where I'm at. So yeah, triple hets and DG Clown stuff with darkness in it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say DG Clown's overdone. It's still a lot to be done with it. Like, just plain Jane DG Clowns, maybe that's overdone, but it's still a lot of stuff to be done when you work the codoms in it.
Yeah, absolutely. So my year is more focused on just producing what I can for moving that project in that direction. And that's about it for this year. Maybe add a few more green trees. You know, that's my Achilles heel.
How many you got now?
Still the one. I'm waiting to make sure that I know like the sex of it before I maybe pick up another one.
Gotcha. You're just gonna pick up like an older one later on down the road, or you're gonna pick up another neonate?
Probably both. Yes. Yes. Your answer is yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
We actually got Bill on the show next week. I wanna pick his brain on chondros.
Oh yes, he loves his chondros, that's for sure. I like carpets too, so that'll probably be another future addition. But
yeah, I love carpets.
Oh, they're freaking spectacular. So
yeah, like all the species, there's not a carpet species I don't like.
Yes, totally agree. So we'll see how my season goes. So
production wise, like, what are y'all like shooting for in terms of numbers? Like, are you shooting for like, and this is obviously relative, but a big season for you, small season for you, you're scaling back. What y'all doing?
15 clutches for me.
15, is that, where's that like fit kind of on where you historically produce?
So I've produced steadily a couple more clutches every year, but I've kind of kept it dialed back. I dialed it back a lot last year because I moved. So last year, I think I only had 3 clutches on the ground because I wasn't dealing with that while I was moving. So this year, obviously, it'll be a little bit more, but still keeping it dialed back. I still have several females that I'm not pairing at all this year because I just, why?
Gotcha. What about you, Tommy?
I'm doing a smaller season for sure. I'm mostly only producing things that I want to further the projects that I'm working on. I mean, obviously, there'll be animals that I don't want necessarily that are in there, but, you know, I'm mostly focusing on trying to create some females to hold back that have hets or codoms or both that I want.
Nice. What project is kind of like your marquee project for the season?
I don't know, because I have the ADD like pairings. I just put stuff together and hope for the best, I guess, sometimes. So I'm working towards always on the dark stuff, hypo stuff, DG. I don't have a pairing that I would say is like a specific thing. I'm doing some stuff with champagne that a lot of people don't want to wear champagne. And I'm excited about that because I've produced some stuff in last year that I was really excited that I'm going to try to produce more of it before I show anybody. But I think that's the thing I'm most excited about, as goofy as that is, probably because I have no idea what it's going to look like.
Yeah, in the lab, whipping stuff up. What about you, Brittany? Like, production-wise, how are you looking this year?
I think we're hoping to hit around 25 clutches if all goes well. But, I mean, you know how that is. There's already been a few that are absorbing and then some that are building early. So we'll see how that goes. But trying for our biggest year. Definitely, we've scaled up. But we'll see. Have some fun projects. I have probably one I'm very excited about is I have double het monsoon desert ghost that I'm breeding. So if I hit, you know, the odd gods, I might get a visual desert ghost monsoon, which I think would be really cool.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be dope.
Yeah. I'm working some more TSK stuff. I know everybody's like, why that one? But I love JD's work. Like, I really like how he has focused on just very clean, because, you know, we all want to be like, oh, a clown is a clown. No, it's not. You can very much select for those like polygenes and a certain look. So kind of working that into some different projects. Of course, got the cosmos. And then like a few other projects, a couple of just dinker genes I'm playing with and things like that too.
Nice. What are you doing with the cosmos this year?
Actually, I bred my Cosmos girl to my TSK clown boy. Okay. So I'm kind of hoping, well, it's my Cosmos clown girl, it's my TSK clown boy. So I'm hoping to hit clowns, that visual clown Cosmos that are het TSK. So kind of get me like a little bit step toward that. I would love to see that granite on those. And then I have some leopard, some desert ghost. I have a het desert ghost Cosmos. So I'm kind of hoping to breed that to a visual desert ghost. Maybe make a visual Cosmos desert ghost. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I really love that project. You releasing some Cosmos stuff this year?
Hopefully. That's our plan. Our girl is one of the late seasons. So, you know, we've kind of done a few pairings just to cover our butts, but we're kind of like, okay, come on. And any day now.
Yeah, I really think that Cosmos stuff, like, works really well with like different color palettes. Like I think like all once people start like hatching all that stuff, it's gonna be super dope.
I think so too. And I'm excited to see how it reacts with some different things. And there is a super form, which is extra dirty, like just really dark and dirty. And I'm really excited to see what that looks like in some other combos as well. So there's a lot to do with it. I mean, I think though that we can say that with every project. I mean, just like, you know, champagne. I love champagne. I don't have champagne, but I think it is so cool. But, you know, you'll see that combo pop up and it's like, wow, how come that hadn't been, you know, nobody's hit that before. So it's a lot to do, I think.
Super bright champagne combo. I don't know what it was. I can't remember, but it was like super bright orange. It was dope.
Yeah, champagne you can make some really crazy oranges with, which is some of what I'm really excited about. And, you know, even in the clown form, it still has like oranges that look like somebody photoshopped them, even if they didn't. So there's some really cool things to be done with it. It's not a very popular gene, which is fine by me, but it's not the middle of everything that I'm doing. It's just something that I think's fun.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, doing stuff you enjoy working with.
Yeah, is everybody else ethics also, or do you work TSK or VPI or?
So I have a pairing that I'm doing now. It's actually a Dinker pairing that I picked up from Steve Morps. That's double het TSK G stripe.
Okay.
Awesome.
G stripe.
Yeah. So awesome. I'm working that just as like a fun little. Let's see what happens.
Has anyone made like any kind of VPI G stripe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I assume so. What about like a Azanthic Kiki?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
I'm working black Azanthic, so I don't.
Those are nice.
But yeah, I like black Azanthic a lot.
Yeah, I got three girls. This hit VPI Azanthic. I don't have any TSK. That's like the extent of what I got in any kind of Azanthic stuff.
Yeah.
I could talk Johnny into that one.
What's that?
Like most of our projects we agreed on together, but there's a few projects that either he really wanted or I really wanted. And so we got them. And Azanthic was mine. He likes the color. And so he was like, why would you take the color away? And I'm like, because then you can see the pattern, you know, and you can just really show it off. So, yeah, I had to convince him on that one, but I love it. And yeah, you said, you know, your little project that nobody, mine is, I have a super fire girl that I love because, you know, that gives them that almost pied look.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, like yellow spots and white. And I love when people come to visit and I'm like, wait till you see this snake. And that's the one I pull out to show them. And Johnny's over there like, Brittany. And I'm like, but look how cute. Like, I mean, the color is so, like, she's just so cute. And he's like, Brittany. We're allowed to like them. The money value does not necessarily have anything to do with how cool they are.
Exactly. That's for sure. There's definitely some things that aren't that popular that are really beautiful regardless. So,
Yeah, and there's some snakes that like from a breeder perspective, it's like a super like expensive snake or whatever. And then you got like some like simpler snakes, like even just like a regular plain Jane banana. If you show it to like the average like pet person or person that's not like really in the industry like that, not familiar with snakes, they'll probably pick the banana before they pick the other one.
For sure. Yeah.
I have pictures of a banana at PetSmart on my newsfeed from before I kept ball pythons, saying how I wished I could take the snake home with me. And that was actually before I was 100% comfortable with snakes. So yes, I can confirm I would have taken a banana home.
I saw a $700 banana male in the pet store the other day. Just
oh my God, bless.
Really?
Yeah.
$700
It's a hell of a markup.
Yeah. So I asked the owner, because it's like a new owner of the pet shop. I was like, you want to buy some ball pythons? Because I got some ball pythons. If you want to buy some ball pythons, you can mark them up, whatever you want to mark them up. But,
exactly.
Help me help you.
Yeah.
Yeah, my season.
Crazy is that somebody who doesn't know will go in there and pay that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. And then I'll figure it out later on. Like, I figured out a lot of stuff later on. I never bought, like, any stores, like, I mean, not stores, but snakes out of, like, reptile stores or anything like that. I kind of started with, like, online, but it's a lot of stuff, like, about the industry, about the hobby in general, that I didn't figure out until, like, afterwards. And I was like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have did that. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't have did that. Dang it again.
My first ball python I ended up investing in was a banana. It was the Banana Fire Freeway that Billy Rose had made. And I paid quite a bit for that snake. And I loved it. Loved the snake. Produced incredible babies. But at the time, I didn't realize that banana changed colors. So that was a shock. So, yeah, coming in and then, you know, people, what was your dumb thing? Well, that was my dumb thing is, you know, it was kind of sad.
I'm still mad I sold my banana pie. Like, I should have kept it and just bred her and made some cool snakes and sold them.
Yeah, for real. I mean, it's good to have those, especially if you're doing shows, to have things like that. Because even if somebody isn't necessarily interested in snakes, that sometimes just the colorway of a banana will get them over looking at it. And then they're not scared of it because it's pastel.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, my season's going pretty slow for the most part. Like, it's picked up a little bit, like, in the last probably like 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks or so, but I wasn't expecting a whole bunch this season. I'm really more focused on next season, so I'm like thinking through pairings and stuff like that for next season, just kind of getting ready for next season, because like, we moved all our snakes, and so I expected to basically get what I get. And if I get anything, I'll be happy. Some of my more anticipated pairings, so those are progressing pretty well. So that's a good thing. And so if I have less production than I had last year, it is what it is. But hopefully what I do have is like some of those like really like super anticipated pairings.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Have you guys like adjusted like what you're breeding? Did the current market have anything to do with like adjusting? Like, I know Brittany, you said you guys are like shooting for like record numbers, but Jen, you and Tommy, y'all said y'all were like keeping numbers low. Did the market have anything to do with that, or is it just kind of that's what you want to do?
It's kind of, for me, it's kind of both. There's still a ton of ball pythons out in the market. You know, there's only what, like 50,000 of them. Should I have done maybe a few more pairings last year? I probably should have, because I'm at the point where I'm vending shows and I don't have the inventory to put on the table that I would like to put on the table. So hindsight, I probably would have done it a little differently. I have contemplated maybe doing a couple extra pairings this year just so I don't run into that same issue again. Because, yeah, it sucks when you only have, like, one display case because you've sold freaking everything else and you're vending a show. People naturally aren't going to gravitate towards your table because you have less to look at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to resort to other sales tactics, like, literally, like, hey, you know, like, come on over. But, yeah, so hindsight, maybe I would have done it a little differently, but I don't want to overproduce. And you know what I'm saying, like, you get to a point where you have so much, then you're like, holy cow, this is overwhelming, and I don't want to be to that point. I want to always enjoy what I do and not be burned out.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. It can be a lot, especially like when hatching season is like full steam ahead and you got like a whole bunch to clean and you got like all these other like priorities and stuff and things you got to do, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, for sure.
Like we're getting low numbers right now. I don't know how many I got because I don't really like keep count like I used to keep count, but we're definitely a lot lower, like probably less than a third of like what we had hatchling wise. What about you, Tommy? Go ahead.
I don't know that it really is any different for me because of the market. For me, it's just I don't really have any goals of producing a ton of snakes ever. I don't think I'll ever be like, oh, I want to have 100 clutches in 3 years or anything like that. It's just not a goal of mine.
I used to want to produce 100 clutches. I don't know now.
I think once you have like 20 clutches even on the ground, you're like, wow, that's only 20 clutches. I mean, you know, and it depends, like, obviously, you know, how many eggs they lay and all that fun stuff. But man, you get 20 big clutches, you got a lot of work on your hands.
Yeah. Like my life would have to be a lot different for 100 clutches to be palatable.
Yeah. Palatable is the word for it. That's not good for my palate.
Fit that shit out. You're about to say something, Brittany?
Oh, I was just going to say that, yes, while we are trying for more clutches than we have in the past, we still have also had have adjusted as well in that. You know, like I had a couple dinkers that I had multiple girls lined up to breed because it was like, okay, let's go ahead and see, you know, let's prove it out. I have the extra girls. Let's do two or three girls. And then I can see what it does in the different combos. Chose to pair that back to like one,
yeah,
you know, per dinker. And a lot of the breedings that we're doing, almost every breeding actually that we're doing is something that we want to keep something from. So it's to replace the parents or move the next step in the program. So it's not just like, let's pump numbers and produce as many as possible. It's still with that goal in mind of improving, you know, my own collection. And first and foremost, kind of sounds selfish in a way, but it's not meant to be, you know. It's like, oh, if I would want this, then, you know, this might be, the rest of the clutch might be something the market would want as well. So still adjusting, even though I'm doing bigger numbers, I'm doing a few more projects than I normally, you know, in the past we focused on like five genes has been kind of our little bit heavier. Now we're playing with a couple others, doing a few more like multi-gene clown things and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So this might be a hot seat question. I don't know. So Tommy, I'll let you go last so you can
prep.
Thank you.
Hey.
Make Brittany go first.
Let's start with Brittany.
Okay.
So we talk a lot about like the number of ball pythons being out there and folks like saying the market's oversaturated and stuff like that. So do you think that some breeders should intentionally reduce the number of ball pythons that they're breeding just to kind of help with those numbers? Or do you think like some of like the bigger names or whatever should just kind of keep going full steam ahead regardless of like what impact that has on supply?
I think that when you're working with any animal, you need to be conscientious about breeding it. And I think that applies across the board. So, you know, when I don't do shows. Like I go and hang out, but I don't actually vend shows. But when I have people telling me, you know, what snakes are moving, what snakes aren't, what levels of snakes are kind of being overlooked, then I'm going to try to guide my breeding to where I'm not producing, you know, a single gene this, or, you know, I don't want to produce too many higher dollar breedings because I don't want to crash someone's project at a time when, you know, things are kind of settling back wherever they're going to be. So I do think as a breeder, we have to look at our breedings and look at the market. And, you know, if this is a year, again, like there are some more breedings I would have liked to have done, but it was smart to focus on what was the most important to, you know, for my own program to move it forward and maybe not quite as much playtime this year. And until the market's better to where I know that I'll be able to move, you know, if the dinker doesn't prove out and I end up with, you know, some snakes that aren't, you know, the highest dollar animals that are a little harder to move, I know that they'll more likely be able to be picked up. You know, somebody's looking for that pet on Morph Market or wherever.
Gotcha. Before we go to Jen, I got a question to ask you, Brittany, about shows. So when you're at the show, are you like dressed up in disguise or something? Because It's been two shows you've been at, and I never saw you. Like, I just found out later that you were here, saw a post. I was like, I didn't see Brittany, and I felt like I saw everybody.
It was I have no idea. Johnny loses me, too. Like, I was at one show, and I was talking to someone, and I stood in the same spot for almost an hour, because as that person finished talking, someone came up and wanted to do, like, a recording. And I, again, ADHD, I'm, like, watching everything. And I'm watching my husband go back and forth behind these people. Then he walks behind me, and I'm expecting the butt squeeze, you know, like, that's the thing. Like, I'm, like, expecting it, bracing for it so that I don't jump. He doesn't. And I'm like, well, that was weird. And he just, and I'm like, I wonder what's going on. Cause he's like a man on a mission. Like, he's full Marine military mode. Then all of a sudden he just stops. And he's like, there you are. And I was like, I have literally been here for an hour. So apparently not even my husband can see me at shows. I'm invisible. but no, I think I just end up in a corner maybe, or I just move too much. I don't know.
Yeah. Like both times, I think it was like, it was the last time I was at Tinley, which was like October 2022. And it was either last Daytona or the Daytona before that that I didn't see. I was like, and I found out like after the fact, I was like, for real?
I don't know. I don't know where I am. Like I said, I must be invisible. Like, I did like, one time I went from blonde to brunette. And I purposely did not post any selfies for like 2 weeks. I only posted old selfies of me still as a blonde. And then I went to the show and it was great because I was like walking aisles and like just getting to look at snakes and, you know, and then all of a sudden I hear John Feely and he's like, what the blank did you do to your hair, Brittany Gobble? And then everybody's like, oh, we thought it was you. And I was like, cover blown.
Shout out to Judd. So what's your thoughts on breed numbers and like whether or not you should pull back your numbers, Jen?
So I know a lot of other like decent sized breeders that have actually like really reeled in the numbers for this year, and they started doing that last year even. I think overall, as part of the community, we all have a due diligence to make sure that we're not overpopulating the market. Obviously don't stop what you're doing, and everybody, you know, breed your own stuff, but don't just produce to produce, you know. I really think that that's kind of the ethical thing to do. But
I would agree. What about you, Tommy?
I mean, I'm gonna echo the same sentiments, and additionally, I think that it would be helpful sometimes for some transparency for the people who have these larger facilities and how many viable animals are actually, you know, culled, and where do we sit with that as part of our hobby or our living, and is that acceptable? And if you're breeding so many animals that you're culling even 10%, you know, how can we try to avoid hitting those numbers? And, you know, cause I don't think there's a lot of transparency on that. And, I know that a lot of newer breeders are very, appalled to even hear that somebody do that, you know. I'll be talking to people and they're like, oh, I'm going to have to try to find a home for this normal that doesn't have pets, you know? And, you know, they find out that people are culling animals and, you know, they're appalled by that. But, you know, I think that creating smarter pairings is important. But if you're breeding for yourself and most of the stuff's going back into your collection or to further your projects, you know, you're going to have some animals that aren't as desirable. And what are the outlets for those animals, and how can we find places for them?
Yeah, culling of the snakes probably happens like way more than we hear about.
Oh, absolutely, because nobody wants to admit that they do it. You know, I mean, nobody wants to. So, I mean, and not just culling snakes that, you know, have neuro issues or kinks or, you know, incubation issues, but like actual viable animals, you know, especially once the market got a little bit more hairy and people weren't buying wholesale anymore, that caused a lot of problems for people who were putting out 100 clutches or even less than 100 clutches, you know what I mean? Because every pairing that it doesn't have a super in the pairing has the option of creating normals. Mm-hmm. If you're not finding a place for them, what are you doing with them?
Right. Yeah. And that goes back to like just controlling your numbers instead of like just kind of going crazy. And even it's not even just like the what I want to say. I don't want to say cheap snakes in terms of like obviously like their life, but like just the dollar amount wise, it's not even that. It's like even like some projects where people could kind of go crazy, like just with a specific project and produce like a ton in that project, and then end up kind of giving it away for pennies on the dollar. And so that has downward effect or downward pressure on like the price of the project, like for other people, just because it's so much supply in that. Then obviously the natural effect is like a downward pressure on the price.
Right. Just because you have an open female doesn't mean she has to have a clutch this year, you know. Right. But people that are looking at it from a business aspect, look at, not everybody obviously, but I mean some people say that animal's occupying this space cost me this much money, the animal cost me this much money to feed during the year, you know, if I can't roll it over to the next year and make that back plus times whatever, then you know it's not worth keeping her. So you know they'll go ahead and breed whatever females they have for whatever reason. And not only that, I think that we need to look into what education and what mentorship do we provide people that we come into contact as breeders. And if we have the knowledge, you know, feel free to just share knowledge with other people. And if you see people making mistakes in their breedings or you hear something they're saying, you know, try to help guide them versus like just being like, well, there's Patreons, they can figure it out that way. Because I've talked to people who are making pairings that I'm like, I don't even understand why this is happening. You know, people are like, oh, I have this animal that I'm putting a hypo this to a spider, and like one of them has this head, one of them has that head, but they don't even really have any like goal for the pairing other than the fact that one has hemipenes and one doesn't, right? You know, like, so I'm like, well, you have a female that might make more sense for this. Do you, what was your goal for this? What are you trying to do? You know, I think that obviously we can only mentor so many people if we're not making it a job, but it is worth your time and effort to help people that are, even if they're not buying something from you. And I think that is important to help not just say don't breed things, but like, hey, let's get people more educated, you know.
Facts. Speaking of mentorships, who are you ladies tapping in with in terms of a mentorship, whether it's you being the mentor or you being the mentee? Like, who are some folks you want to shout out?
I mean, we all know who my crack dealer is, so
yeah, we already know.
We all know who my crack dealer is. No,
Mr. Casino.
Like half my stuff is from his collection. So I will say I started out as a customer for Steve. And what kind of drew me to him was probably my third snake. I went by his table and I was like, oh, I want to buy this. And he's like, I'm telling you, you don't want to buy that. Like, you don't want to buy that. And I was like, are you really talking me out of buying a snake? Like, are you really doing this right now? And he's like, yeah, I'm telling you, because the two others you picked up, this doesn't make sense. Right. So he did like exactly what Tommy was talking about. He was like, I have this one that would make more sense with the direction of clearly the genes you like.
Right.
And so from there, we hit it off. And, you know, it was never like a, oh, you have to do this or you have to do that. It was more of like, that doesn't make sense, but this is what I would recommend. But hey, do what you want to do. But I'm thankful for that because not everybody's willing to do that. And here we are, you know, several years later, and there's still situations that arise where I'm like, hey, you know, what do you think of this? Or how could I have done this differently? As far as people I've mentored, I just, you know, we have some locals that just are like they're collectors. They don't ever have the interest of necessarily breeding, but just keeping at the best level that they can keep. So I have some that I've never even sold a snake to, but I mean, they message me quite regularly, like, hey, how can I do this? Or what do you recommend with that? And I give the advice freely, because to me, that's the knowledge and the education piece is what's going to help this industry grow, really.
True. What about you, Brittany?
With the ball pythons, I wouldn't so much say I have a mentor or mentees as much as just a lot of friends and share knowledge. You know, somebody might ask me a question, I can ask them. The closest probably would actually be Jessica Denmark and Dan Denmark. I think they've been in the chat. We're kind of mentoring them in the ball pythons, and then they've also helped answer some questions about boas. At the moment, probably Nick Botini. He's cold-blooded earth. He breeds blood pythons. I would say he's probably my mentor at this point because, learning a new species and wanting to make sure I'm doing it right and doing it well. And, you know, within minutes, he's always there to, like, reassure me or answer questions. So, yeah.
Nice. Hey, y'all, we're going to take a real quick sponsor break, and then we'll be right back to chat some more. 1 second.
Peace and love, family. We invite you into the heart of our serenity, Ancestral Royal Pythons. At Ancestral Royal Pythons, we're not just breeders, we're nurturers of love and growth. Each of our high-end ball pythons is a tribute to the grandeur of the natural world and our dedication to quality. Reach out today and bring one of our creations into your home. This is Ancestral Royal Pythons. Your journey begins here.
Here's to the exciting world of ebony and ivory reptiles. From unforgettable parties and events to keeping and hatching some of the dopest reptiles in the reptile hobby, we're all about education, quality, integrity, and respect. Hit us up and see how we can help make your next project a reality. Experience Ebony and Ivory Reptiles, where fascination meets fun.
Ebony and Ivory Reptiles.
Shout out to the homie Matt. Shout out to the homie Jason. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate the support. So where do y'all see the market going in the next few years? And I'm talking about, like, project-wise. Like, what do y'all think is going to be kind of hot coming up over the next several years? Anyone who wants to jump in and answer, jump in.
Cosmos.
And I'll jump in at once.
I don't know. I'm excited to see more Cosmos stuff. I think that a lot of people are excited for that. I think that a lot of the Granity genes, any of them, honestly, are going to do well. I think that we went towards more cleaner palettes for a while. And I think that, you know, just like any other thing where you have kind of like fads, you know, we all wore skinny jeans after we wore, you know, basically bell bottoms. You know, I think that you kind of like go through things and you kind of start shooting off in the opposite direction after a while. So I think any of the Grant jeans are going to do well. I think Monsoon's got some stuff that is going to come out, you know, to be interesting. I'd like to see some Monsoon combos that break up that pattern a little bit more, make it a little more banded or not banded or oscillated or whatever. Like if we could find a way to oscillate that, I think that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that I'm like kind of looking at it, trying to work with.
Yeah.
I'm with you on the Monsoon.
I mean, does Scott have a Cosmos yet? Brittany?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I know. like every meme out there, he's like the meme king. Like he's always sending them. But I do know that Ralph released some. I think he actually has a girl available right now. So
yeah, he does.
Could be. Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. I'm with you. The Monsoon. I know. I've had a lot of people, I've even seen it like in World of All Pythons, and people are saying, oh, the Monsoon's a dead-end project. And I'm like, it's not dead. It still has a pattern, so we haven't been able to change it much. That was a little disappointing, yes. Like, it would have been nice if it would have been more things, but there's a lot of projects that then you could say were dead. You know, oh, no, it takes this much of the pattern away. Now it's dead, you know? Yeah, I mean, if anything that gives a very specific look almost every time, you know, it's, you would have to say it was a dead project. It's just a color project. And, you know, just like we have Xanthic. Okay, Xanthic is dead because everything's black and white. No, it's not, because look at how many patterns you can put it in. It's the exact opposite. We have Monsoon. Now let's see how many colors. So you know, we have like Ultramel, Monarch, we have like several different color genes that we are working on with the monsoon. But like you said, there's going to be something that is going to completely change it. Someone is going to hit that thing. We don't know what that thing will be. And it could be the most stupid combo, like stupid simple, or it could be something crazy. You know, I've got a couple of idiotic breedings that I'm kind of, I have on the books to breed that shouldn't, like a stripe. Okay. Like a tri-stripe. Why would you breed a tri-stripe or something along those lines? But that could be the very thing that might, but it could be a total dud, or it could be the coolest thing ever. And we know it can change because Stranger with Moray, which is compatible with Monsoon, makes a completely brown snake, which means that something affected that pattern. There is going to be something else.
It's just like champagne. Think about like champagne. Who would have thought like red stripe would change champagne, or blackhead would change champagne so much, or even inchy like would change champagne so much. It puts a lot more pattern on it, you know. So, or even acid in champagne, weird stuff. So we don't have enough codons in it, and of course it's smart to move towards colors first and then codons second, because changing the color is going to be a big impact, and then trying to find ways to change that pattern is definitely going to be important, I think, for people to keep interest in the project. I mean, I'm all in on it. I'm on the same page with you with that tri-stripe idea too. So maybe we'll both have some terrible
It's gonna go very wrong or very good, or they'll just come out looking like monsoons, and people will be like, again, it's the same thing. You see one, you see them all.
It's a double visual, you can't tell, it's fine.
Yeah. We'll be freaking out. Are we supposed to sell them? Like, what are we supposed to charge?
Exactly.
So I didn't know that made a brown snake. Like, is it like all brown, or like, what does the pattern look like? Imagine you can see something.
It's very brown.
Okay. Very brown. If anybody's watching this that loves the snake, cover your ears. It looks like a brown turd. I am so sorry, but it literally is like a patternless snake. It's just brown.
Stranger.
I have Stranger too, and it was actually before that one was made. I had that plan because I thought, oh, we'll like outline the granite and darken it. And then I was like, oh no, we are so not ever doing that.
Very anticlimactic for sure. Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, if you're gonna put yourself out there, you gotta make the expense of some mistakes sometimes, you know. But
I appreciate someone else doing that.
Somebody didn't do it,
so I didn't have to.
Yeah,
hey, but that animal is still a powerhouse. Let's be real.
Yeah. Like, absolutely.
If you're in the world of investing, it's two different genes. And just like you said before, when we're trying to be more conscientious about our breeding, that is a great snake, because then you still have a high value animal. You know, you breed that to anything. Now you've got a het monsoon that is a visual stranger that's going to help keep the value of the babies up, you know, not hopefully too high, but you know, help them to move. You don't just end up with normals.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. And since you brought it up, Brittany, what do y'all think about the Ultramel versus Monarch stuff?
We love both. I always get asked on this one, and I'm like, I like them both. Like, they're very different to me. Like, when I look at them, it's two different color palettes, but I'm excited about both of them.
Yeah, I like both too. I joke around with like my homies and stuff like that, because I only work Ultramel, but I like both of them for real. What are y'all's thoughts? Yeah.
I have Ultramel.
I have Monarch.
Are you against?
It's like one of each, and then both.
Am I against it? Like, I would add Monarch in here. Like, I don't have a, you know, I would just label one Ultramel and one Monarch, you know? I don't give a shit. I'm like,
I'd straight up fight somebody. No, I'm just kidding. No, I like them both too. I mean, like, I like them both. I don't have enough room for, you know, all the projects that I want to work. And I mean, even sometimes I'm like, damn, like, I'm going to have to like sell things so I have room for come ups, you know? So, cause I have a room, I don't have a facility. Yeah. And right now that room doesn't even have a floor, because we ripped out my entire floor. So now right now I have a hole that was my snake room. So, and snakes everywhere. So fun.
You got to tell the backstory behind that so everybody knows what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh. So we have a sliding door that I guess the people that installed it didn't do that good of a job, and it's like a 10 foot, maybe 12 foot sliding door. And there was water coming in behind the sliding door over the years, and we didn't realize it. Yeah. And one day it was on the second floor. So I was like walking in my snake room. I'm like, wow, this is really like bouncy. And so I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, I had somebody come out and look at it. And basically the rafters underneath that door all had water damage over the last like 10 years, and it rotted out and it wasn't even attached. So basically like somebody came in and ripped out a 12 by 17 room. So when you walk in my house now, you can look up and see the ceiling from where you used to see the second floor ceiling, where you used to see the ceiling for the first floor. 12 by 17 just ripped all out. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
$20,000.
Yeah, sounds like a hell of a headache.
$20,000 project that I didn't want. So, ta-da.
Hey, you don't know. When they did our house, they did under our porch where our doors are, French doors, and they didn't put like something was supposed to be protective there. Mm-hmm. And instead, water had just seeped there for like 10 years, and it rotted the boards that attached the porch, which is pretty high off the ground, onto the house. And so I was on the shorter side of the porch that was quite stable, and Johnny walked out on that side of the porch, and he's just walking, and the deck just falls off the house. And so my smart mouth says, you should have not ate so much for breakfast. And he's like, Brittany, now is not the time. And I was like, but that was good, right? That was a good one. And he's like, not the time, Brittany. Our porch just fell off our house. I thought it was good. Timing was bad. Joke was good.
Great joke.
I thought it was, but it was a pain. And I couldn't imagine, like, that was at least outside the house. Yeah. You know, we could deal with that, but inside the house, that is
it's terrifying, like to have somebody just basically rip half of your second floor off and just be like, that's fine. Like if I walk out of my bedroom to go down the steps right now, there's just like a hole like there. So
wow,
I love it.
How long is it gonna take them to fix everything?
I don't know, they're contractors, so it could be
what's the estimated timeline?
They said 8 working days. I mean, they're doing pretty good. I mean, they ripped out the whole floor and part of the outside in the last 2 days. But I think that, you know, ripping it out happens a lot more quickly than building it back. So
building it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was dogs. That they didn't do right.
Yeah. Yeah, I have 4 dogs. Flashing. I have to try to deal with all that too, because one of my dogs doesn't like people, so it's not fun to have people in the house that are banging and pulling things apart. So, yay! Anyway,
gotcha.
That's my Debbie Downer story. Moving on.
So, I feel like every week, like, you start seeing like people like getting out, like selling their whole collection and stuff like that for whatever reasons, whether it's like they're just tired of it, or they're going through like financial problems, or they're going through some sort of hardship. And I know like we all kind of go through hardships and whatnot. So and whoever wants to jump in here first, or I'll call on you. But talk about a hardship that you've kind of gone through and kind of had to persevere through, because like you never know, maybe someone else will hear it and they'll be like, dang, yeah, I'm having a rough time or whatever, and I can push through it. So whoever wants to jump in.
Brittany.
Hey. You've been voluntold.
Who said that?
It wasn't me.
You're really like digging in the fields now, huh?
Yeah, man. So I guess I can go first. For me, one of the big things, since I got voted, one of the big things has definitely been the health issues. That has just, over the past 5 years, and I try not to post a lot because I don't want to, like you said, Debbie Downer, I don't want to be that Facebook profile that is sad. So like a lot of health tests, you know, there's been a few scares where it was like, hey, it looks like it might be something super, you know, like say your goodbyes. So there's just, you know, been some stresses with that. And then when they finally came up with the diagnosis of mixed connective tissue disease or multiple connective tissue disease, which is in the lupus family, and you get like all of the, you can get any of the symptoms of any of the lupus complex, basically. And it's makes enough to make you miserable, shouldn't kill you unless it attacks your lungs. But then 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with mild restrictive lung disease because my lungs aren't working like they should. And that's when it's a problem. So for me, you know, I did my lay in bed and cry, and then decided to pull my big girl panties up and just make the most of it. And so a lot of times for me, I'm finding my happiness in seeing other people smile. So if I'm having a really hard time, that's usually when I'm going to be over the top on my Facebook, being goofy and clowning and trying to be a bright spot for someone else. And the reptile community has been really great because I've been, my health problems started right as I came into the reptile world, probably because of stresses I faced before that, kind of triggered a lot of my immune system to just decide that it was bored and needed to attack everything in my body. So I really appreciate the community because it's very supportive. I mean, I know that there's like the little fights and nitpicking, but all in all, the community has been, you know, just really cool and amazing. And there's been times at shows where I'm struggling a little bit and somebody's like, here, come sit back here and, you know, chill for a minute or whatever. But you can still do it. There's still ways. You know, there's been the days where you just want to give up and it's like, why am I even bothering? I can't hardly walk today because my joints are so bad. but it's still worth it. And, you know, so you don't have to give up. I guess that would be mine.
That's a dope approach to just like refocusing, redirecting that energy into something positive, just to keep things going. That's cool. Respect.
Yeah. And I can take the photos and edit them. You know, if I'm having a bad day, maybe that's not the day that I can do lifting the bins up over my head. You know, that might be a day. Or now a positive is baby snakes will take food from me because I have a natural tremor most days where I'm fatigued and shaky. And so, boy, they love, I can make a mouse dance like you would not believe, a dead mouse. Let me be clear. That did not sound okay. But, you know, sometimes you have to like tempt them. Like I can put natural movement with my tremor. So there is a positive to this. But yeah, and then my writing, you know, that gives me that distraction as well. So you can find a way to be a little bright spot and keep doing what you love. You know, I've had to make changes to adjust for it, you know, because I can't do everything. And I have to admit that, which I'm a person that doesn't like to be told I can't. But
how many books you dropping this year? I know you just dropped one like recently. And then
I dropped one like two weeks ago. I dropped one, and I have four within the next 8 weeks that I have to drop. Woohoo! So that was book 26, I think, that I just dropped. I have five or six more I have to do this year that are like already planned and booked out, or have pre-orders and things that I have to fulfill. And then I have a big book signing in Scotland, which will be.
Oh, dope.
My extrovert self decided to sign up for that on that rare extrovert day. And my introvert side is like kicking myself now. Like, why did you think this was a good idea? But yeah, that's fine. I'll make it.
You going to hit 1 million words this year?
I think I'm going to come pretty close. I only got like close to half a million last year. But this year I've been trying to push a little harder. So it might actually happen. And I'm dropping a new pen name next month, so that's exciting.
Oh, wow. Why are you changing?
Yeah. Okay, this sounds really bad. As a romance author, I am tired of writing romance. I love writing romance, but it's like, okay, could you guys stop kissing? Because I want to go blow something up, you know? So I'm going to do a paranormal cozy mystery. So it's not like so bloods and guts. It's, you know, that cool mystery with the kind of comedy vibe.
Okay. That's what's up. Nice. What about you, Jen? What's something you had to push through?
Of course. You know I don't do this.
I had to. You're up.
I feel like this is a therapy session now. We know we don't do this. So actually last summer, it's been right at June will be a year after a show, I actually ended up in the hospital with what is now diagnosed as ulcerative colitis. So that's been an adjustment. Unfortunately, one of the main things with it is I feel like I'm always freaking tired, but the medications they have me on for it to control it also make you tired. So there's a lot of nights where I'm drooling on the couch pillow at 7:30 at night because I just don't have any energy after the day. But I do have kids that are really helpful. And on my days where I have a lot of energy, I really get in here and bust ass and try to knock a lot of the stuff out. My kids come out and help. My husband helps immensely with like the rodents and stuff. But you just kind of keep pushing, more or less. I mean, they're animals, so you can't really just say, oh, I'm not going to take care of them this week. You know, that's still something you have to do. So it almost motivates you to keep going on some days. And obviously there's other days where you just, like last night, I was out like a light, you know, you're going to have your random night where you just can't push through it. And that's when you rely on, you know, people around you to help out. So
yeah, sometimes the most productive thing you can do is just lay down and take a nap, go to sleep.
Yeah, but I lay down and take a nap and you're not waking me up, like
yeah, I'm no, that's sleep.
So yeah, that's about it. I've been pretty open with it, like on my social media, and there's like a lot of people in the hobby that struggle with similar issues. So that's been kind of eye-opening. It's kind of, there's that part of you that you have your pride and you don't want to admit that, hey, I'm messed up, but then it was kind of nice too. You know, I still get random messages like, oh, hey, you know, how are you doing? How's it going? So it's nice, you know, and even at shows, there's some nights where I'm like, listen, guys, I'm not going out to dinner tonight because I'm done. Like, I'm out. Like, it's just not freaking happening. And people pretty much, you know, for the most part understand and, you know, are supportive and, hey, is there anything we can do? Can we help? You know, so it's cool. This is a good community. And yeah, like Brittany said, you have your random little spats, but overall, like, it's a solid group of freaking people. So.
Facts. Tommy, you're up next.
Your therapy session now.
I mean, sadly, I have this same kind of story. I mean, like my most recent thing, I mean, I've definitely had a lot of things that I've had happen. But most recently, 7 months ago, I got diagnosed with mast cell activation syndrome and alpha-gal. So I have some real issues that stem from that. I was bedbound for, I think, 4 months. I couldn't do anything. And I'm on month 8 now, so I'm only like 4 months outside of that time at this point. So people had to, you know, help me out. Since I have the alpha gal, I'm allergic to mammals, which not just like allergic to mammals, but like I can actually go into anaphylaxis if I even smell somebody barbecuing, like because of the mast cell. It's just like with when people have seafood allergies, like they can go into anaphylaxis from being like around it cooking because the particles go airborne. So it affected not just my life in general, but it's affected my social life because I can't go to restaurants, you know, and everybody wants to go out to eat, fun stuff like that. I can't do my own rats anymore because I can't really be around them without having N95 masks, nasal filters, and a bunch of meds on board. So a good friend of mine has been doing my rats now for 8 months. God rest her soul. She's amazing. You know, she definitely came in clutch where, you know, like, I really at that point didn't want to admit that I couldn't do things, and I was trying to do things, and I was actually messing myself up more. But I think it's interesting that three people here on the panel, if we didn't get into this question, we'd have no idea of, like, that all three of us have, like, gone through some major medical things recently, you know. And that just goes to show that, you know, the people that you see online, like, not just see them, like, you know, in text, but you see them in video, that, you know, there's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes. And I know that that's kind of cliche, that, you know, everybody's struggling with something, but it's true, you know. And I mean, it doesn't have to be knocked down, drag out, you know, you think you're going to die, but, you know, everybody's struggles are different, and that doesn't make them any less.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You are so strong to, like, I had to do the bed rest for just like a few weeks, and I about lost my mind, just because that is not only a physical thing, but that is a huge mental thing, to be there, especially when you're like I think all three of us, like, very go-getter, like, want to be doing something, want to be useful, and then to, like, have to come to terms with not feeling good and knowing that there's something wrong with your body, but then physically that does not, you have to be very strong mentally to handle that.
Well, yeah. And to admit that you can't do for yourself is a really difficult thing, especially if you are a go-getter person. And I mean, I I don't know how many times I broke down crying, just being like, I'm useless. Like, I can't do anything. Like, I don't know if I can live my life like this, you know, like, why it's thumbs upping me and thumbs downing me, it likes me. I said, I can't live. I'm like, I'm having a great day. It's like, boo.
But if you're like me, you had to learn to ask for help. And that's really hard. And it's not from a place of pride. It's just, I didn't realize how much of my self-worth was tied into being, like, independent and able to do it by myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even go on a walk by myself for a while because there was danger, like, just being intact or in contact with something that I was allergic to when I was in my really high parts when I first got diagnosed. So, I couldn't do anything. It was ridiculous. So anyway, that was fun. Now what? Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Gone through now? It's your turn.
You tell us.
I'm ready to go get a Xanax and a glass of wine now. You know? Thanks for this.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all sharing that.
Like, making us vulnerable.
That's dope that y'all were willing to share that. And to Tommy's point, like, I didn't know. I mean, Jen, I knew about you because we had talked about it a little bit and you had posted about it too. But, like, Brittany and Tommy, I knew about you too because we had talked about it before. But, like, Brittany, I didn't even know. And it does sound cliche, but, like, everybody's, like, got their things that they're going through. And so, you just kind of got to find the thing that motivates you. And whatever that thing is different for different people, obviously, but just, like, keep you going.
To anybody who's watching, like, you know, if you need someone, if you're going through something, you can reach out to us too, because there's more of us that are, you know, dealing with things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
might not be the same experience, but we can commiserate somewhat.
Well, I think that it's important too, to, like, actually reach out to people, even if it, like, today there was somebody that was in my Instagram stories and they posted, you know, something around, you know, that they were having a rough time. And anytime I see that, I reach out to the person, even if it's not going to be fruitful. Like, I'm like, hey, are you okay? You know, I didn't even know this person. They were just happened to be my Instagram friend, but, like, their post sounded like they felt alone. And I remember, like, it wasn't that long ago, you know, when I was bed bound, how alone and isolated I felt. And so, like, you don't have to be bed bound to feel that way. You can feel that way just because you don't
live day to day
where you are, right? So, I mean, you know, take the 2 seconds to shoot somebody a message and check in on them, because, I mean, sometimes just knowing that they're being seen can make a difference.
That's a good point.
I haven't had, like, I want to, Brittany, you asked me, like, what hardship have I gone through? I haven't had, like, a major health scare. That's probably because, like, I'm terrible about like going to the doctor and like keeping up with that stuff. Like I actually like just started doing that because like I don't know, like to be honest, like I'm terrified of like getting some bad news. And so like for the longest time, like I wouldn't even go like to the doctor on a regular basis. That year that I was at Tinley, I did have like a little bit of a scare. Like I had like some chest pains and stuff like that. Like I literally thought I was gonna pass out. Like I had to go over to the convention center because I was in the room by myself and I was like the only one there. I came down by myself and I thought I was gonna like pass out like in the room. And so I made it a point, like after sitting down for a while, just hey, you gotta at least get up, get over there to the convention center, because if you fall out over there, at least someone can call somebody. But if you fall out in this room, you're just gonna be in this room for who knows how long. And so I went through like a whole bunch of like checkups and evaluations and stuff like that after that, but it ended up not being anything serious. And so like now I've been going to the doctor more regularly, but I hadn't been historically. I think one of the biggest things that I struggle with now is like I probably try to overload myself, and like I struggle with bandwidth and just kind of getting overwhelmed because like I got like all these thousands of things that I want to do, and I really want to do it and get it accomplished. And sometimes I have the tendency to like bite off like way more than I can chew. And I kind of have the mentality that I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to build the plane as I'm flying it, and I'll figure out like how to get it done. And I usually work it in, but sometimes I can be overwhelming and I can get like burnt out. Me and Takari, we were laughing the other day because like when I first started the show, the very first like really busy season I went through like at work and kind of like struggling, like trying to balance the show, balance the reptiles, and like balance like all like life's other demands, work included. Like I was stressed out as hell. And like I was like, I'm quitting the show. I'm not gonna do this shit no more. Like I'm not gonna do it. And I ended up obviously not quitting the show. And like now, like I'm so glad that I didn't quit the show, because it's like one of the best things going right now for me. Because like I get to talk like great people like yourselves and meet people and like learn about other folks and all that good stuff. And like I really enjoy it. And like now the show's come a long way, it's grown. And so I'm glad I didn't quit. But like at first when I was like trying to like build that plane as I go, like I had like I was this close to landing that mug, but I'm glad I didn't do it. Yeah. And so like I would say like just kind of getting stressed and allowing myself to get overwhelmed. And like my mom always tells me, you need to slow down, you need to slow down, like just take a chill pill. But yeah, like I tend to do that. Like I'll take on like way too much. I gotta stop it, but that's just kind of like my nature, is to like try to take on as much as I can.
Yeah, but I think that we have to remember that to some extent that's what makes life exciting, is that excitement. Because if you didn't have that drive and all these ideas and everything, life might not be quite as much fun. You know, like I've met people who I'm like, oh, so what are you? And then they're just like, yeah, whatever, you know, and they're not as excited. And I think there's something wonderful about being excited about all the things of life. Having said that, I do understand what you're saying though about the burnout. That's hard. And when you have health issues, like you almost have to be twice as hard on yourself, because then it's like, okay, wait, a clock might be ticking. How am I going to fit in the things that I want to do? But meanwhile, knowing that burning yourself out could actually be doing more damage. That is, I think, probably something a lot of us struggle with. It's tough.
Yeah, it's definitely a balance for sure. Sorry, I got distracted.
All right, that was hella deep.
So what's your favorite morph?
You know, I struggle with this stuff. Like even on my personal page when I post stuff, I've struggled more with this diagnosis than I do like openly communicating about like my struggles with anxiety and depression. Like I can communicate through that easily now, where like this issue, it was like I tried to communicate through it, but it's still like I'm very, I don't know, it's just different. It's different.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, definitely. Don't let your pride or your fear of reaching out to somebody stop you from saying, hey, I just need an ear to talk. I need somebody to talk to. I need an ear to listen to me.
Yeah, for sure.
It's definitely clutch to have folks in your corner who you can just like keep it real with.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Everybody needs that. There's a lot of people in the chat just really like showing a whole lot of love. I don't know if y'all seen the comments coming up, but yeah, like I agree with them 100%. Like they said, you was rock stars. I meant to call that one out, but yeah, for sure. Cool, but yeah, that was pretty deep. It's hard to even get back. It's hard to even get back talking
how
about
do we recover Snake after from this. That?
Like, reel it in. I did have some more Snake questions, but it is kind of awkward, like switching back. But we can switch back a little bit.
I think we're
good. We switch all the time.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you gotta have like mental resilience, in like reptile breeding and part of life and going through stuff. Tough stuff is like building that mental resilience, and it helps you do that. So we touched on this a little bit earlier, but one of the questions I wanted to ask is kind of like looking back on like your experience, like with breeding and stuff, like what's some of the things you wish you would have known when you first got into it that you would have done things like totally different? We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but we didn't really do a deep dive. So I guess we'll start with you, Tommy.
My answer to that is I wish I would have done some more research before I bought animals, I guess, because I come from a different background. Like I had venomous for however many years, I don't know, 25 years or so. And so they're more, I guess, colubrid-esque when it comes to like how they grow and things like that, most of them. Whereas like, I did not think about the fact that like I was buying a female for a male and I bought like a pair and I had no plans for that male other than that female. And then the male's like, I'm ready. And I'm like, sorry, that she's like got to be 300 years old before she breeds. So I think that would be for me, like, I wish I would have realized that. And also have a better idea about how certain morphs interact with each other, because I mean there's a damn library of it, obviously, as we all know, and made plans, you know, with, you know, grabbing females first, growing them out for a few years before I grabbed a male, because I mean by the time my females are ready, like I wanted a different male for them, because I mean I could get this like a much better male for the same amount of money, and you know, to pair with those girls for the projects that I wanted. So I think that was the biggest mistake for me.
Jean?
So when I first got in, I bought anything and everything that I just thought looked cool. So biggest mistake. I should have honestly picked out like select projects and really like honed in on just picking up for those select projects instead of picking up what I thought was cool, because by year two, I had sold half of it. I think the other thing was I always knew I wanted like the ARS racks. I wanted like just a cleaner look all the way around. And as you can see, I still have behind me some PVC. I just wish overall I had invested in better infrastructure from the beginning instead of going back later on and doing it after the fact. So just better education all around on my part. I would have done it totally different.
Yeah, both of those things I would have done different too, because I just picked up like random stuff, and a year or two later I was selling it all. And I wish I would have started out with like more infrastructure. And like I remember seeing like the ARS Freedom Breeder rats and stuff like that, and it was like, I'll never spend that on the rack.
Yes, and here you are.
Exactly.
Or you tell yourself you're not ever going to have that many animals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I'm sure I can find something else better on Craigslist.
Dude, I gotta be getting this D6. I'm gonna try to fill this up.
Yeah. And that goes and back, like up. Having a good group too, because like now I got like groups of folks that I talk to. Like for example, like in the chat with my homie Justin, like I'll drop something in there and he'll keep it real with you. He'll tell you yes or no, whether or not he agree, and he'll tell you why too. And it's good to like have people who keep it real with you. Like we might not necessarily always agree on like every single thing, but I'd rather somebody keep it real with me now, because that can like save me like in the long term.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
What about you, Brittany? You can't use any
I was gonna say one was actually the racks. No shame to the homemade racks. I loved the racks. My husband built the first one and he's like, it holds 25 snakes. That's all you get. So make it count. And then he put the next rack in. He's like, this is the last one for real this time. And then he put the second one. But honestly, that is a huge thing that when you're a newbie, you're like, that's an insane amount of money. I could buy a much better animal with that money. But oh my goodness, the quality and ease of caring for the animals is so much nicer. And not just the snake racks, but also the rodent racks. If you can do those, oh my goodness, that makes, I no longer have to go get cement bins because they've chewed out of them. So the racks are great. I would say from the buying animals that didn't quite go together. We did come from breeding backgrounds. So I knew the genetics, not of specifically snakes, but in general breeding and how you plan for things. And then Johnny was like, okay, well, if we're going to do this, I like your idea. Now let's do it on a larger scale, but let's really make these pairings count. So I'm very thankful because otherwise I would have was going to buy what was pretty. I mean, I did know what genes I wanted. But I'm not going to lie and be like, looks wasn't going to matter because it totally was. So I wish probably that, which not the greatest since I know it's mostly ball python. I bought my hog nose before I bought my ball pythons. And then I got really excited and invested very, very heavily in ball pythons. And I kept my hog nose program small because it was just a few. And I do wish that I would have grown that at the same time. So I've been growing it more over the last couple of years. I've been trying to put more into my hognose, but I love them. I love both species, but the hognose personality is just, you know, I love how calm ball pythons are, but it is so much fun having your little spitfires that have an attitude all the time. Oh, dope. Shut up, Kenny.
I think that's the other thing I wish I had bought. It was, you know, after my great rat suit flood, was like an actual like freedom breeder rat rack instead of these wood racks. Yeah.
I remember my first tub that flooded and it wasn't my last. Like it sucks too. And it's always the one with like the most in there too.
Oh no, this was tubs. And tubs. Like it literally went through and chewed the water lines all the way across. And then they sat and it was a hot day. So they sat.
Oh God. Yeah,
all day.
Like, I can smell the sewer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying like
needless to say that video did not get posted.
The rodent racks are a lifesaver. And if you have health issues, oh, they're so great. Because I at one time had, of course, the cement bins, the big ones. But then I had a lot of fancy mice. So I had like 50-something bins that had to be individually watered and fed. And that is exhausting. And when you are waking up with a limited amount of energy where you literally have to pick one or two tasks that you will complete that day, being able to have that ease definitely makes a difference on being able to stay in a hobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Facts. So, pays for itself long run.
Yeah.
Ooh. So, all right. So ladies, I got one more panel question for tonight before we let you get out of here and enjoy the rest of your night. So since it's ladies night, definitely want y'all to shout out some other ladies in the hobby. Definitely glad to have you wonderful ladies on here, but give some shout outs to some other ladies in the hobby, no matter what species, just someone in the reptile hobby. We start with you, Jen.
Well, you know, my Florida ladies, really they're, you know, they're with their husbands all the time at the shows, cleaning racks, doing everything else. So, you know, you have Laura, Steve's wife, you have Jacqueline, who's with Joe Kinney, Jeannie Bod from with Jeremy. So, they're really some solid women, and like we've really formed like this little cluster. So yeah, awesome ladies.
What about Mosaic Morphs?
Well, my mother. Yeah. You're putting me on the spot. I could go down a whole list. Like, who else is there? You know, no, there's, I don't do this on the spot thing very well. Jesus Christ.
Like, oh, I hate this question because my brain immediately goes empty and I can't remember last names of like my best friends right now. I am literally
like, you got me over here forgetting my mother. Jesus Christ. Like,
that's worse.
Holy shit. there's just so many, really. Like, there's a ton of amazing women in this hobby. And so it's just like, how do you make us list them?
Like, obviously you can't hit everybody. Obviously just some of the first ones that come to my mind. There's no slight anyone who you don't mention, including Anne.
Well, definitely no slight to my mother. Jesus.
You'll get a message later. Like,
I'm gonna get a text message like, are you serious? You really forgot about me? No, I just don't do well on the spot.
What about you, Tommy?
Gas reptiles, mountainside pythons, high vis, painted lady balls, everything's better orange. That's all I can remember right now.
He's better than me.
Wow, you remembered the name, the like business names too. I freeze up when people ask me mine.
Well, I freeze up when somebody asked me who I respected in the hobby and just ended up yelling, I have no respect. So if that makes you feel better, then you should feel all right with yourself right now.
What about you, Brittany?
Well, some of my favorite ladies are Heather Kellums in Nashville and Kate Higgins, of course, and... she's awesome. And I had a couple more that I had thought of while they were giving their answers. And now I'm drawing a blank too. I suck at this.
Y'all can come back and drop some additional names in the comments if y'all think of somebody.
Oh yeah, I'd love to do that.
This is my list.
I'm gonna have to do that when we get off of here. I'll have to go type in a list.
And I'm gonna feel so stupid. I mean, well, come on, Jess Denmark is right here and we talk on almost a daily basis and she's been in the chat the entire time.
Yeah, it's hard to come up with people on the spot and you'd be hesitant to say stuff because you're like, you know you're gonna inevitably forget to say somebody and you don't wanna just say rattle off 100 names when there's so many people like who really have like a positive influence on you. So I don't think anybody takes it personal if you don't say them. So tonight's been amazing. It's been great, man. We got a chance to talk about some snakes. We got a chance to talk about some deep stuff. Got a chance to talk about the market, man. It's been an amazing time. Definitely glad y'all decided to hop on the show with us tonight, man. We really appreciate it. Before we get out of here, let everybody know where they can find you on social media and anything you want to plug. The floor is yours.
You can find me on Instagram, inky.clouds.
So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook, Cigar City Exotics, or you can also just go straight to my website, cigarcityexotics.com, and link through to the social media that way.
And I'm Gobbles Reptiles on Facebook and Instagram.
Cool. Everybody in the chat, man, I really appreciate y'all coming out. At one point, we had almost 80 folks in the building. Y'all make sure y'all get those likes up. Shout out to the replay gang. When y'all watching the replay, definitely drop a comment. Make sure you hit that like button, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already subscribed. Shout out to the audio only gang who checking it out on all the major podcasting platforms. Really appreciate all the support that y'all show us each and every week. That's it for tonight for Clutch Conversations. I'm Mike, the lovely lady behind the scenes is Takar. Thank y'all for coming out. Be blessed. Peace.